Welcome to the Annie Tay Podcast After Hours, Episode 2, where we have a casual conversation about nothing, essentially. I am the kind of host, Rockman Dash, and today we have Dex Omega.
Hello!
And from the last episode, Proton Storm, which Ken screwed up.
Hey guys.
Protons are hard.
Yes, they are. And last but not least, we have That's My Pizza.
Hello there.
So, who are you and where are you from?
Well, my name is Thomas and I come from Seattle, so. You might have noticed that I did that big PAX article, like on all 4 days. Yeah. It was quite fun, but.
Yeah. How did you get into anime?
Well, I got into anime by watching essentially the Saturday morning cartoons, like on Fox and WB Kids, I believe. And, oh man, there's just a lot of great shows, but god, they were really hammy at times.
And your top three favorite shows?
The king of all ham shows, Yu-Gi-Oh! First season. I have to admit, the third season, 5Ds, gave it a run for my money, because freaking card games on motorcycles, nothing is just as absurd as that, but the first season was just so hammy, I loved it. My second favorite one would be Rurouni Kenshin, which I watched on Toonami quite a bit, and it was a very good and well-directed piece, and it had a lot of good action scenes. It was just really fun. And last but not least, my third favorite anime, my top third would be Dragon Ball Z, and that was basically the big shonen of my childhood, and it was really fun.
So what do you think of Kai?
Kai, I really haven't watched any of it, and I honestly don't think I would need to see any of it, because from what I've heard, it's mostly just an HD update with a lot of the that's essentially a more bridge, so there aren't, like, really silly episodes that I generally enjoyed with the series, because you had those big action scenes, but then you could switch down to those crazy, just those crazy general antics that kind of carried over from Dragon Ball, which I also liked quite a bit.
So, this is After Hours. We can talk about anything, but I decided we might want to talk about what's going on this season, now that it's almost over. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, I've been basically staying away from the big shonen shows of the season, so I haven't been watching Adohano Zero, or I've only watched some of Akame ga Kill, and that's mostly because I've already read all of it, and it's really weird, because going back to, like, the earlier stuff after, like, reading all of it, the early stuff just does not click with me. I don't know if it's just the animation or just the storytelling, but it just doesn't click with me for some reason.
Well, it clicks with somebody else here, so.
Hey, Team Akami 2014, yeah.
Like, it's by no means bad or anything, it's just that I think it's very shonen-y, and if you already know what's going to happen, it just kind of feels dull.
Yeah, I can see that happening. My personal opinions on it is it's a good show, but it doesn't really do anything special.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can see, like, all the flaws with it, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the super shonen-y shows, but I think they made it a bit darker, they added real consequences to it, and that was good enough for me, and I'm really enjoying it, so.
Yeah.
I am no stranger to liking a show and everybody else hating it. I think we've all had that moment one time or another.
Yeah.
And
the other way around, definitely.
Definitely.
Especially
everyone, I don't know, but everybody seems to be coming around to me and Rock on Aldenoa Zero. It's been fun to watch.
It's like, yeah, we've disliked it since the very beginning, and it's like, they have no issues with it. I don't even understand.
It's been entertaining to watch that, but we talked about that during the actual episode, so I think we can leave Aldenoa Zero alone for a little while.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, I even got into a discussion with one of my friends who was actually watching it, and he basically said it had a good amount of character consequences, but the thing is, he hated Inoha, and the main thing about Inoha is that he's portrayed as, one of the main characters, and I really don't like main characters that are basically cardboard cutouts or basically character wish fulfillments. Like, Kirito's okay with me because he does have some flaws, which was shown in the first season, but I cannot stand a freaking Tatsuya from Irregular because he is just so boring.
I think that was a real big issue for me at the beginning, but now it's a lot better.
Yeah.
But
it all depends on if you can accept the character. I cannot, in his current form, accept Inoho for instance. Now, if there was actual character development in Alden O-Zero, that would be different. Unfortunately, there isn't. We're moving on from that. Tatsuya, I can at least watch him be awesome. Yeah. Look at how awesome that was. Look at how awesome. Look at that big, giant magic explosion at the end of the last episode. Oh my god.
That was great. So great. And, like, now that they've actually developed the characters, I can care about it. That was my issue with it at the beginning. It's like, I don't care about anybody, so I don't care what's going on. But now I do care about them.
Yeah, so. Who is it? Erica, the red-haired girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best girl.
No, Mikurin, best girl.
Get out.
Don't tell Reddit One True Tatsuya that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Tatsuya is just one of the things I don't like about the series. The thing I dislike about the series the most is just the writing in general, because, Tatsuya is doing this awesome thing, now let's explain how basically magic affects physics in the real world, and it's just, one, it's not a very good way of showing impact, so it feels kind of like, Tatsuya did something awesome, but this is why he did it, why it's so awesome, and then it just loses all impacts after that.
Well, that's kind of just light novels in general. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, of course, I think Fate's Day Night did it so much better by explaining it first and then doing
Surprise, surprise!
Me liking Fate's Day Night? What?
Mm-hmm. But going off of light novels, they also skipped one with the Irregular at Magic High. Like, the fifth one, it's during, like, the summer term or whatever, and, you know, they have the whole new elections, and there's a complete new student council, and spoilers, some people find out about Tetsuya's various pastimes, so, and they kind of just skip over that, and I was like, I can see with, like, when you're making an adaptation of, like, a manga, skipping, like, a couple chapters or something, but when it's, like, a light novel adaptation, and you skip a whole book, there's a problem.
Oh, most definitely. That's also an interesting topic, because I've actually been encountering quite a few adaptations of light novels being, like, made into mangas recently. The biggest one I'm having, like, the biggest beef with is Re:Monster, so it's RE, then semicolon monster. And essentially, the light novel is written as, like, a diary entry light novel, so it can be really hard to get through, but the manga kind of does. The manga adaptation of that kind of does that, but it also skips through, like, some of the days where it's, like, a paragraph or so. And so you're constantly cycling through all the actions, and it's really fun, and I really like the premise. So if you really wanted to check it out, Re:Monster, just check out the manga first, but it updates monthly, so you'll have to be waiting for it quite a bit.
Well, speaking of manga, this guy, That's My Pizza, so much manga. Oh my gosh. It's like... Oh, man.
The pillar of manga's here. Yeah. Who's going to be the pillar of light novels?
Yeah, we need a light novel guy. We have the visual novel guy and the manga guy. Now we need the light novel guy.
And I was the anime guy for a while, but I graduated from that.
That's Coda now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually reading quite a few light novels recently. Like, oh my god. Exile, another guy in, like, the Anite community, mentioned Mushoku Tensei recently. And I've heard quite a bit about it, and so I finally threw down and started reading it. And essentially, I spent two whole days reading, like, most of it, and goddamn, I really enjoy it. And I don't know, I might have to start getting into light novels.
I can't get into light novels mainly because I don't like reading text straight off on, like, tablets and stuff. I'd rather have, like, a physical, and, like, you know, almost none of them are released in the West.
Except for a select few, which are sitting right there on my bookshelf. I've only got 10 of the ones from Spice and Wolf. I need a couple of more there. They're good.
Yeah.
I don't have very many light novels, but...
Yeah, I feel like
they're getting out there. There's more of them coming out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yen yeah, Press, like, good stuff.
Yeah, well, I have to say light novels are actually quite interesting, but the thing is, they are essentially teen fiction, and a lot of them read like teen fiction, and that can be quite a bit of a problem, because generally they don't cover like a lot of interesting things. And sure, there's a lot of exceptions, but they can be a bit hard to find.
Titans light novels.
Yeah.
I'd say Spice and Wolf can be a little bit deeper than that, but that might just be my Spice and Wolf rose-tinted glasses on.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking about the general like access to the English public, because I used to work at a library, and essentially there's a very, very small section of light novels in the YA section, and it was just mixed in with all the general like YA fiction to boot, so just finding the light novels in English can be a bit troublesome, and if you're like Rock, you might not want to read it on your laptop or like on a tablet or anything, and that can also set people, like, it can be a deterrent for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of light novels and libraries, I remember when I was younger, the way I got into like .hack was I found the light novels at a library, and speaking of themes that don't usually get covered, wow, that was amazing. I loved the light novels for .hack, so.
Oh, what? I never heard that .hack had any light novels.
They
what
have
were they really about?
Prequels. They're prequel light novels. And,
.hack is one of those series where it's been around for so long and it's popular enough that I imagine pretty much every medium's been hit by it at one time or another.
Oh, yeah.
So I have don't blink an eye at the idea that there's a light novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I really enjoyed them, and that's how I got into .hack, and that's why I watched the atrocious .hack sign.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for you.
I remember watching some .hack sign on Toonami. It was basically lots and lots of drab talking.
But it looked beautiful for the time, just saying.
Oh, most definitely. And I love that intro. It was so catchy.
Yet it had nothing to do with the show.
Intros that have nothing to do with the show are funny things.
Yeah.
They really are.
So the light novel for .hack is .hack AI Buster. And it's very early in the world, so if you're interested in .hack, I'd recommend reading it. It's I loved it.
Aha.
Yeah, right. That sounds interesting. Yeah. That also reminds me of that like big crossover like .hack game where they essentially mashed all the protagonists from every .hack thing into one game, and then there's like this one like player avatar character, and essentially yeah, that character would interact with each character, like, in a special team-up move, and it was just the most awesome thing ever, but it was also hilarious. I completely forgot what that game was called, but I just remembered all the animations for the team-up attacks were hilarious and great.
It was .hack Link, and I played the demo of it, and oh my gosh, it's so fun. Too bad we never got into the States, though. I really want to play it.
It's too bad that a lot of things never made it into the States.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, there was this one Nintendo game.
Cough, cough, move, love, cough, cough.
That was so subtle. Even I could have been more subtle than that. That aside.
Yeah.
Rock and I are just dealing with the aftermath of playing it. It's okay. This is just what happens.
Yeah.
You play the game, you make up memes, and then you keep referencing to each other and then laughing a lot.
Then complaining how everything should be like it when it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. That aside, because I'd rather not pigeonhole into that, because then me and Rock would just start rattling off memes for all
that
of
reminds
time.
Me. We need to get when we have Exile. Exile needs to get a mic, and we need to do an after hours with him and Fatalis. We need
and
to
just gush for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
no, that sounds good to me. Let's go for it.
Well, maybe Eo, if you did that, you could call like the Mublove After Hours. Or something like that, because change the Anity, like the chat to.
I think that was Nantine that did that, right? Nantine, I think, changed the name of it.
Oh.
And it's so perfect that we've just left it that way. Because invariably we always talk about it. I'm almost sorry for you guys, but invariably we always talk about it.
It's like that internet wall where whenever you have a discussion, Hitware will come up on that chat room, and Move Love will come up.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Again, I'm kind of sorry for you guys, but at the same time, why haven't you played yet?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just imagine me making a very disappointed face at you right now.
As if I had time.
That's what they all say. And then after they're done, they're like, why didn't I have time for this?
Marathoned it in like 3 days. It was glorious.
Oh, Jesus.
Trust me, 3 days is probably overdoing it, but nonetheless.
Well, probably you know, not 3 days. Days probably I'll like a week, but still, it was great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we firmly pigeonholed.
This is After Hours. It's not like we have any plans.
I know, but I'm trying to cut back on the Move Love so that Nanti doesn't want to strangle me. Though he probably will anyway.
I don't know, they've probably given up by this point listening to the podcast.
Most likely.
Probably.
Unless he hasn't. In which case, then I'm screwed. Alright, well.
Well, let's try to transition from that onto shows that we haven't talked about yet. Dance keeps on coming back up in the chat.
Blade Dance.
I'll have to admit, it has a good premise, interesting characters. Just the direction in the anime seems pretty bad.
Oh, the direction is painfully pandering. Let's not mince words here.
It's like, it's a good idea, but once you have naked lollies, that just, no.
And when you repeat that scene like 3 or 4 times, like in a series of 3 or 4 episodes, it kind of gets on your nerves.
Yeah, that's why I dropped it.
Yeah,
I can summarize the entire show by just saying, watch the ending of it, and you will know. You will know what it's like.
Oh, you
way
mean
Way Dance
like,
of the Tsundere Days?
Yeah. I mean, like, the ending
Blade
is
Dance
entirely,
of the Tsundere
like,
Mentalers.
For about a minute and a half.
Oh, definitely.
But I
just ended up skipping it entirely after the very first time. It was just getting annoying. Also, the tune was too catchy, and I didn't want to get stuck in my head.
God, that theme song is awesome now.
I really love the Persona 4 Golden ending animation. It is just awesome, and I love the theme song as well.
Mm. Perfect transition. What do you think of Persona 4 Golden? I mean, I guess I should watch it because I've played through Persona 4, but then haven't gone through the Golden stuff, but just didn't care.
Whoa.
About
it. New game plus the anime. It's been said, and it's true.
It's just new game plus. Essentially new game plus, and Yu is basically going full on ham. It's hilarious.
I'm not up to date on this one, but basically I can summarize it like, if you haven't played Persona 4, or you haven't watched Persona 4 the anime, you shouldn't be watching Golden.
Basically. But if you have... Yeah.
Sure,
if you have
go
played
for
the
it.
Game, go do it.
It's
you
like,
will have a fun time.
It's 13 episodes, and use a ham, as always.
And it's Persona 4 Golden New Game Plus Edition in the anime form, so yeah.
Yep.
All the comedic stuff that you didn't really get to see in the original animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so great. I can only recommend it for people who have basically gone through the game and watched the anime, but if you have, just go and do it. You'll have a fun time.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Rail Wars.
I will take point on this one because I'm the person who actually kind of eyeballed this knowing what I would get basically. And I have not been wrong so far. It has been okay. And I mean okay in the strictest way possible because it's like it has certain good points, but then it throws ass in your face. And you can't tell what's going on. I mean, what was it last episode where we had like 3 different shots? Ass shots, that is. It's like, what's going on? What? Is there any plot going on here?
Sakurai's butt is still eating her skirt. I just hope they do over in a bridge series of Rail Wars. It'll be glorious.
You haven't seen it?
No, I have. I've watched it multiple times. It's hilarious.
It's so good. Giguk, the anime reviewer who posts every 6 months, did a... I did an abridged for Real Wars, and oh my gosh, it sums it up perfectly.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. In Giga Q's, like, the full Metal Panic, like military song at the very start when the instructor lady was talking, because that theme song sounded so familiar.
I don't remember if it was.
I don't remember. No idea.
Yeah. Sorry.
But Rail Wars, it's not a good show. It's not a bad show. It just sits there in the train service category, like, okay.
I was surprised that it had more train service than fan service, at least the episodes I saw. Like, I came in there expecting a pandering show with trains running the plot, but oh my gosh, if you are not a train otaku, stay away.
I can kind of agree with that, yeah. There's not enough there unless you are, I guess.
It's like, all the city was like, what's going on? I don't know, I'm not watching this.
I'm a kind of guy that enjoys trains, so I have a couple of moments there.
I like trains.
Hey, it's a better hobby than crack, as it is by TV Tropes. Although crack might be cheaper according to TV Tropes. Now, yeah, it's... I'm not sure I would agree with only train otaku are allowed, but it's pretty leaning that way. You have to at least have a marginal interest in trains.
Yeah.
Don't really have anything else to say about Rail Wars. Anybody else?
Well, the parody Giga... Like, the parody of the Thomas the Tank Engine theme song that Giga placed in his video always reminds me of freaking... In Akira the Tank Engine, which is freaking hilarious for no reason at all. Where it's just Akira just screaming all the time, like screaming to the theme of Thomas the Tank Engine. It's just the funniest thing ever, because they also have, like, Kira's face on top of Thomas's face, and he's just making all those crazy faces, and it's just great.
Mm-hmm.
So, what next?
We should talk about the one that we've all been avoiding. Glass Lip.
You know, even though I'm trying to marathon that for the review, I'm having a hard time doing so.
I can imagine. I watched, like, the first three episodes, and the biggest thing I got out of it was about chickens or something.
Jonathan is best wingman.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's become a mini meme. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. But yeah, Glass Lip. Part of the, I think the most enjoyment I've had out of that show has been the comment sections down below.
Oh, the comments! Oh,
God, that
has an
so
amazing
great.
Comment section. Every show. I mean, oh, I love Crunchyroll's comment section. They made Arpeggio for me.
Oh yeah,
so great.
Oh, Arpeggio's was good, but yeah. Glass Lip's comments make it for me. Just that whole big trio that everyone had during the last episode, or was it the one before? One of the two. Where everybody was just like, Jonathan is best wingman. You're just sitting there going, this is so bad, it's great.
It was my safe bet. It's, you know, PA Works doing a
slice
of life. How could they go wrong? They went wrong.
I think the problem with it is that it's just so incomprehensible most of the time.
Whoa.
It's like the characters aren't memorable, and it's trying to do something that nobody knows what to do.
Lead girls, really is memorable in all the wrong ways.
Oh, this will be a tough review, just saying.
I could do it with you, because I'm actually one of the few people out there who enjoys it, just in a different way than what you're thinking.
Okay, let's do it. That's going to be a thing. Glass Whip, Dex and Rock. It'll be glorious.
Dex and
or
Rock attack each other.
Or I'll be incomprehensible, or whatever.
Just like the show!
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We'd be channeling the spirit of the show.
So it would be a good review.
And Rock
anyways.
Would have to say eh.
Oh, what would be greater is if you and Rock basically did a review of the show, but you actually did another review of a different show just to f- fuck with people. It's like, yeah.
You copy and paste our move load review.
Oh,
yes!
Like, that'd be hilarious. But, I don't know, it'd be funnier if you did, like, a show with a generally that's also incomprehensible. Maybe something like Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo.
Except Bo-Bo-Bo's funny. Glass Whip is just, eh.
Yeah.
We'll just replace it with a copy of a review for School Days that we do.
You're terrible.
You know what, though?
It's what I
really
do.
I actually love School Days, so...
Okay, we're going to have to quantify why you like School
because
Days.
Because so
I like School Days, but I don't love School Days.
It's so bad that it's good. It's the worst best show I've seen.
I think that's because that's what they intended to do. That's what the visual novel was. It was basically everybody expected them to do some big romance thing, and they were like, no, we're going to give you a gigantic pile of decisions.
And that ending? Oh,
and the, all of the bad endings you can think of. And I think one of the biggest troll moments ever with them was that they decided they would make all the good endings impossible to get to. I'm talking, in most visual novels, you know exactly what you have to do to pigeonhole down to a certain, you know...
Unless you're playing...
Heroine.
Unless
you just...
Oh, go ahead.
You just pick that heroine every time they come up.
Unless,
except in School Days.
Yeah,
where if you do that, you will die.
Yeah, unless you're playing something like Type Moon, where it's like, hey, we're going to throw you... Do you want to go to the beach, or do you want to sit there? And that determines all the choices in a lot of visual novels are just atrocious.
Like, oh yeah, they can be pretty atrocious, but I think School Days took it to a different level.
I haven't played it.
You've never played it? Oh, okay, maybe that's a good thing, because it's almost too weird to do.
I there's just so much I want to play, not enough time.
There's a lot of
oh,
sex
tell
in
me
that
about it.
Novel.
There's also a ton of stuff I want to buy because the freaking Smash Bros. Sale. Oh my god.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
You poor soul.
I am so glad that I never got on the Smash Bros. Train. That way I don't have to spend money on it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're doing like a sale of every, like, of the games that. Well, essentially, they're doing a sale with characters who are in the game, who are playable in the game.
Yeah.
So basically, Donkey Kong, all the. Legend of Zelda and all those games are going on sale right now, and it's just now you can buy like a Link Between Worlds for $20 off, and it's like ridiculously cheap now. And oh my god, there's just a ton of stuff I want.
It's like a Steam sale, yeah. Except Nintendo.
Yeah, and this like never happens because Nintendo is so far behind on like their digital storefront. It's ridiculous, but when it happens, it is amazing.
Yeah, I already nuked my wallet this month. I don't need to do any more, so
yeah,
I'm glad I'm not on that.
Cons plus all the games and visual novels I could ever want coming out and having no money for it.
That just sucks.
Speaking
man.
Of Smash, I mean, the demo, have you guys played it yet?
No, not yet. I
have
not. I haven't gotten a code.
I'm gold
platinum.
Instead of platinum.
Well,
so.
I got it from...
you poor soul.
I know.
I got it from Estevalis, so... I'm happy, but...
Yeah, I had a lot of experience at Ads Pack, so I'm pretty good for now. I just want the freaking full game so I can play as, like, some of the secret characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play as Wario again. They changed so much of it, and it looks so... Well, so much of his kit, and I want to see the differences.
You know, the biggest thing I'm finding with the demo is there's no C-stick, so you can't use the Smash moves, and, like, half of my playset revolved around that, so...
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, you just need to get used to it in all honesty, or you could just wait for the Wii U version to come out,
yeah.
But I digress.
Well, you know, a couple months ago, I had all these games that I hadn't registered because I'm lazy for Club Nintendo, and I was like, I could register these and get platinum, or I could just have gold and we'll wait. And I was like, there's not going to be that much of a difference between them this year. It wasn't that bad that last year.
Oh, you poor soul.
That was so stupid.
Yeah. And the reward platinum rewards for this year were actually kind of bad. I even forgot to like pick
yeah,
mine
they
up.
Well,
but whatever.
At least they gave you like $40 games. All they gave for like gold was you know stuff.
Game Boy
like
games,
$5.
The games
yeah.
You've all played. So I got another copy of six golden coins. Yay!
Yeah, I actually already owned like most of the $40 games they're offering for platinum. So I was intending to get Wario Land 2, but I completely forgot about it. But I don't really care. I still have Wario Land Shake It, which I still need to well, which I need to still 100% complete, but goddamn, that game is hard. Ugh, but I love it. It's amazing.
What was the name of the one on the GameCube? Was that Wario World?
Oh, I also have Wario World. It is God, that so... That was great. It's so great. You get to pull off a crap ton of moves, but it was short, and there wasn't a ton of stuff to do.
It looks so goddamn weird. It's what? Just looking at the gameplay of it, it looks off.
You knock people down and you pile drive them. That's the biggest thing. You can pile drive people into the ground and they will go flying. It's the best thing ever.
Sounds
and you
like
play
it.
Wario.
Hmm.
I don't know. I've always gravitated towards Wario after like being playing a ton of Mario games. It's just Mario's so much more interesting than the either Mario Bros. Now.
And that's why I like Yoshi.
Oh yeah, I love. I really hope they like do another remake of Mario 64 so you can play as like even more characters. I just love running around to all those Mario 64 levels as like Wario, and then just like doing all that crazy stuff.
Well, you know, I don't even need them to remake it. Just put it on my Wii U, please.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I know that feeling too. I just want it back.
So, back to anime?
Sure.
Or you guys can keep going on about Nintendo.
We're just gonna sit here.
Well, I'd rather not, like, spoil a ton of Smash Bros. Stuff for people who haven't actually actively looked for it, so I'd rather stay away from that topic besides the fact that Wario's an unlockable character.
Mm-hmm.
But people who played the game probably would have expected that already anyway, so whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, we haven't touched over the most boring mecha I've ever watched ever, Argyvolan.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even touch it because I completely forgot about it.
It's so generic, it's average.
It's so generic. It's unbelievably generic. I didn't even know there was a definition of generic before.
I will tell you what's going on right here.
Before I found it.
I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. This is made by Zebek, or Zebek, mm-hmm. or whatever you say that name as. I don't
Zebek.
Know. Zebek, I think so. Anyway, this is them putting all of their crappiness into one show so they can make me have an awesome Fafnir series in the winter. Just like how Studio Dean pumped all their crap into Pupa that one time, we're going to get something awesome.
You think Studio Dean's going to make anything good?
Hey, they made Sakura Trick, okay? That was a success on their part.
But everything else.
I know, I know.
Everything else.
I know, Studio Dean.
Studio Dean.
But the point is, this is them putting all of their terrible into one spot, and then they're going to make me have something awesome in the winter. So this is me calling you out, Zebek. You better do it better this time. Because if you mess up Fafnir, I will never forgive you.
And speaking
I might laugh a little bit.
And speaking of Zebek screwing something else up, Tokyo ESP. I mean, seriously, you're going to show us the best thing the first episode and then disappoint everybody the rest of the time? Seriously, why?
No, I know.
I'll say this about Tokyo ESP. The source material is pretty fucking crap. Like, I've already read most of it, and basically at the end of this series, it will, if they get a second season, which I highly doubt, it'll basically be a giant time skip, and you'll have a new protagonist, and, like, the old protagonist will be off doing their own thing for a while, and they won't show up for a big time, and it's just kind of boring because the new characters are dumb.
You know what, though? I mean, I'm pretty sure the only reason anybody watched it was because of Tokyo Ghoul and Sankyo no Terra, the Tokyo Trio. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason why anybody picked it up.
That's actually why I picked it, so yeah.
Yeah. I was lucky, and I already, like encountered the source material. I was like, yeah, I can write it off anyways.
I'm too busy not watching it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, I saw the first episode, and I could understand, you know, you go back in time, and you have this, but it's just, it's not even that it's worse, it's way worse afterwards. Like, the first episode
yeah,
was
definitely.
So good, and then it was just so bad.
Yeah. But I honestly can't really blame them because they basically picked out the best part of the first arc, and then they had to deal with all the other crap that led up to it. And there's just not much you can really do with that source material besides make it look pretty.
Mm, and pretty it kind of is not.
That's unfortunate.
Speaking of pretty, have we talked about Hanayamata yet?
Oh my god. It is so much better than I actually thought I'd be going into it. Like,
I never thought Madhouse could do a cute girls doing cute things show. Never thought it.
Well, Madhouse has a pretty wide range of stuff, and it's been around for a while, so it doesn't really surprise me, but Jesus Christ, it's a lot better than the outset. Like, the first episode left a really bad taste in my mouth, because goddamn, I think Naru, the main character, was such a prude. She pissed me off so much. It was ridiculous. Like, she just drops what's her name again? I haven't watched the show in a while because I've been lazy, but the blonde-haired girl. Yeah. Wait.
I think. Wait, no.
Oh, it's Hannah. It's Hannah. Her name's in the freaking title. I should know that. But basically, she was dancing with Hannah, and then she just drops her mid-dance, and she's like, I have no confidence. I'm gonna run away. And I was like, you serious, Naru? You serious? But luckily, all the episodes after that were just much better, and Naru just pissed me off a lot less because she started acting like she wanted something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could understand where she was coming from. It's just her actions themselves pissed me off so much because,
mm-hmm. And the development, and it was great. The character is great, and I was really surprised how well the music was, especially when they threw in the theme song, the opening song. I mean, everybody knew it was going to come, but yeah, then when it did,
it was great.
It was so great.
Yeah, and it looks freaking beautiful as well. And
uh-huh.
It's just a very enjoyable show. Like, if you're expecting something like K-On!, you'll get a little bit of it, but you also get very good characters and good character developments on top of it. Mm-hmm. So I would heavily recommend watching it if you have the time.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we haven't touched yet?
Well, I'll just offer my thoughts on Tokyo Ghoul in one sentence. It's better than the manga.
I've heard so much people say the opposite, though.
I don't know. I felt the manga itself was just poorly paced, and the storytelling itself was pretty poor, but that might just be me, and I've read a lot of manga to boot, so a lot of storytelling elements that it used in the manga were just bad, in my opinion, but
I
feel the anime. Here is my future, just going off of that. Everybody's going to say Grisaia no Kajitsu in the fall is going to be so bad compared next to the VN, and I'm going to be sitting there going, but it was so much better paced!
Grisaia. Oh, we need to talk about Grisaia. I mean, we're probably going to just scrape over it in the podcast, but...
Oh, I'm probably going to push it up there because I'm interested to see if they can make this better.
No, I am
never going to budge on this one. The VN is so bad when it comes to pacing. Oh my god.
Okay, so if you don't know anything about the visual novel community, they put Grisaia on a pedestal. Like, it's...
My god.
Oh my Jesus. God.
It's like the thing where people... I'm on, like, these Move Love threads. I'm on these threads about G-Single. I'm on these threads about all of these different visual novels.
Like, why haven't
you
gotta
play Grisaia?
It's always like, about Grisaia. It's like, it's the one big one that I haven't played yet. And I'm not going to until the English version comes out. But, gosh.
I'm just sitting here going, No, don't advertise it like you are. You guys are doing the worst job ever of advertising this thing. When someone talks about Move Love, you don't talk about Grisaia. They are different. It's the kind of thing where I want to smack you through the computer screen when you do that. They're completely different, because all I remember of Grisaia was I sat there in front of my computer clicking for 50 hours, and nothing was said.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, and people say it has the best translation ever in a visual.
No! Okay, let me put it this way. The Japanese guys were apparently having a lot of fun with Makina, and that's why everybody loves this one. Basically, you know the Lolly character? She's a foul-mouthed little thing.
Oh,
and she talks like this and says "Oni-chan" all the time, and people eat that crap up.
You know what, though? The visual novel community, they just suck that stuff up.
Oh,
visual novel is, like, the highest concentration of lolly lovers I've ever seen on the internet.
Yeah.
It's... But
anyway, allegedly the lolly character has the best route in that game, but I still haven't played it because I still haven't picked the thing up since I put it down.
Grisaya, I'm looking forward to the anime just to see if it's any good. I haven't touched the visual novel, shocking, but and I'm gonna wait until the English. But Grisaya, man, it's been hyped up, and I'm not sure how they're gonna adapt it. It's gonna be horrible.
They'll at least have to have better pacing. They don't have 60 hours to fuck around this time.
Yeah.
That's all I got there. That's probably better for the next podcast. We'll see.
I don't know. That's more of a... It's like nobody else talks about it other than the Western visual novel community. And just think how niche that community is.
Yeah, it's true.
Lots of hype.
Yeah, so nobody else knows about this other than that specific community. And
I'm basically the only one around Anitae besides Fatalis who's played it, so...
Uh-huh.
Two very different opinions on that one.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to your review.
Oh yeah, I probably will take it. We'll see. I almost kind of fear the future. Oh, well, we have other cool stuff that come in this fall, so...
Yeah, this fall is just amazing.
There's a lot of adaptations, and we'll be getting to that later, but, I mean, lots of adaptations of games in particular.
Definitely. Just so much. And I mean, if you want to say your thoughts here, go ahead, but we're not going to say it. We're going to hold it off until next...
Yeah, Rock and I kind of have to hold off, but if you guys want to talk about a couple things, you can go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what was that one... There's an adaptation of like a phone game, like a phone
girlfriend.
Oh, girlfriend, Kari.
I want to see how you adapt something like that. It's like apparently there's like 100 different girls in that game or something. They're all fully voiced, and I'm like, how the hell do you adapt that in any way?
Cuts
and
harems.
And after my experience with Silverlink with Fate Ilia, they're gonna do it well, but. How?
Silverlink has been funny. They've done a lot of interesting adaptations.
Yeah, Silverlink, like, they really surprised me.
They were the ones behind Strike the Blood.
Oh, you mean Strike the Harem? I watched that show, and goddamn, every single villain and arc was this goddamn same. It would piss me off after a while.
It could be the same. It's one of the few shows that, you know, it proved to me that Ecchi couldn't be terrible. It wasn't terrible. In fact, I enjoyed it to an extent.
I don't know. I got tired of it after, like, the third arc. Because basically what happened is, new girl shows up, main character sucks her blood, he gets super OP, and all the villains have, basically, fuck you, I have an invincibility shield until you get your new power ability.
Yep.
And it's like, really? I'm bored now. You're stupid.
It was totally lather, rinse, repeat, but I will give it credit for this. That harem was hilarious sometimes.
I don't know. I think just the whole, like, flow of the show pissed me off too much to actually get into it. And it was just recycling old anime tropes with, like, every dairy you could, like, name in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. That's possibly why I don't really like harems, because they generally have a really bad habit of just cycling through general archetypes used in those kinds of series.
But it can be done so well.
Most definitely. It's just, a lot of the times they aren't done because it's really easy to monetize those kinds of shows by just showing fan service and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Also called money service sometimes.
Most definitely.
I mean, it pays the bills or something. That's why Blade Dance is like it is. So,
Speaking of that, like, why is, like, merchandise of everything, like, 5 times more fan servicey than the actual source material?
Because that's what Oda Ku eat up. I don't know.
I mean, I went to go, like, the anime convention.
Yeah.
Steins Gate. And then every single poster fan service, like, the show doesn't even have any. Like,
yeah, it's definitely tame. It comes down to that's just kind of how it is. Mm-hmm. There's not much of another way to put it. They like monetizing that whole sexy thing.
And Blu-ray sales.
Of course, You gotta sell the Blu-rays, man.
Them Blu-rays.
I definitely had that happening here at Salt Lake Comic Con, too. Although, we also had a very different kind of problem at our convention, which I actually ranted about for a very brief amount of time. God, why was it everywhere? It's like, my God in heaven, none of you are going to sell any of this merchandise. I'm not even kidding. It was one of either Sword Art Online, Attack on Titan, or one of the few other shows that are popular like Black Butler. I'm like, come on, isn't there anything special in here? Even the place that was entirely dedicated to, like, model kits and stuff, they only had Gundam, and I'm like, there's more mechs in Japan than Gundam.
What was that?
I'm just sitting here like, there's more mechs in Japan than Gundam, you know that, right?
I was actually really surprised by the variety of the mech shops were online, because Valvrave, Code Geass, well, there were Gundams, but I was like, Valvrave. I wanted to pick one up, but...
Speaking of oversexual, God, man, there were so many fan service things of CC.
Oh,
my God. That was one thing that did stick out of me. I just come up to one of these booths at the convention, I'm like, I feel dirty just going in there.
There were some where they had, like, full-out, like, yaoi ones, so, like, you could see the people staring at the people looking through it.
Yeah. I was very disappointed in that one model kit shop, though. Only Gundam. There was no Valvrave or Code Geass or anything. It's like, where is everything?
Where is the Shira Nui?
Where is the Muv-Love? Where? Okay, I'm kidding.
Where are all the niche anime?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, from an economic standpoint, when you have a booth and you're going to one of those places, you have to think, everybody's going to have Attack on Titan merchandise, and I'm probably not going to be able to differentiate myself. So where was the train of logic where they said, let's bring Attack on Titan stuff?
There was a Good Smile Company one that was like an official retailer of that. Oh my gosh, that was so amazing. I wanted it all, but couldn't afford any.
It was good having a good disposable income for this convention, I will say that. I set myself $400 as my limit.
Well, honestly, going off of the Attack on Titan stuff, I mean, as much as terrible as it is, the reality is that, like, 75% of all people that watch anime, you know, as they say, just watch Attack on Titan. It may be, like, Sword Art Online or something.
Yeah.
So that's why they're doing it. I think if they had, like, one booth with, like, completely different stuff, that would probably be a really good idea, except that's not really how they think.
Yeah.
So.
The thing is, though, what we consider popular is not popular at all. I mean, I thought Ori Emo was popular. Fuck, nobody knows that. It's like, there was only like 5 popular shows per con. It's right now it's Titan, Black Butler, Free, SAO. And if there's anything else, I don't know. Because what I think is popular is not popular with anybody else. It's like, nobody knows shows. And it's kind of a disappointment, but...
That's just how it is.
I mean, they're not bad shows, but there's better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one show wasn't bad until I played something. I did it again. Okay, I'm going to start putting a quarter in the jar every time I do it.
The video version will have a counter.
Yeah.
It'll have a counter.
Yeah, that it will.
That it will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well.
All right. Well, convention talk. Well, actually, let me just go ahead and ask this: who went to a convention during convention season? I'm actually kind of curious.
Yeah, I only went to PAX.
Well, I went to PAX. I went to SAC Anime.
SAC Anime, right.
Uh-huh, and Dex, you went to Comic-Con in Salt Lake, right?
Yeah, which is not affiliated with San Diego Comic-Con, which they're actually in a lawsuit over right now. Oh, boy, it's like fireworks over here. All right.
Okay, so we just took a break. Proton Storm had to go, and now we have Coda.
Hey.
So, what do we want to talk about?
Maybe I am a hero.
Just when we were having our break, some horror thing came up, and Coda's just sitting here going, nope, 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 nope.
It's basically, I Am a Hero is it's like a horror manga that has a few rewards to add to it, and I'm planning to review it sometime, but goddamn, I could not get it through the first chapter. But then again, I started reading it, like, around midnight, and goddamn, it's just horrifying, to say the least.
Sounds fun.
You know, I just looked through the Wikipedia page. They have no pictures about it.
Just glamour shirt.
Intentional. Yeah. Sounds interesting. Maybe I'll go and shit my pants later.
Sounds great, guys.
Well, I mean, let's see. What else do we have to talk about from this season? Coda, since you're here, do you have any shows this season that you particularly want to talk about?
Not really.
Darn. Okay, well. We can talk about how hilariously long-winded Sailor Moon Crystal is with its 2-week intervals. We could talk about Sword Art.
Talk about Magi Moji.
Magi Moji.
Yeah, I don't think you really talked about it in the podcast.
We briefly covered it?
Well, we could go a little more in-depth.
Let's go over it again. Yeah,
why not? I don't remember what episode it was, but the episode with the cat, that was... God! All of the feels. It's like the show, I'm not sure what it's trying to do. It's so average most of the time, but then it peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was heavily turned off after the first episode because I thought everybody was retarded, especially the main lead. But the thing is, I just hate the main lead, but I think the other characters are basically okay. But the thing is, if you have a bad main lead and he's, like, at the center of attention most of the time, there's probably a problem, because why should that character be the main character instead of, like, the other side characters, which are more interesting?
You know, but then bad main leads can be done interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, if they get ditched halfway through the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a magical girl show that is kind of not really a magical girl show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know what to think about it. It's average.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that it helped me remember Rue, the character, because I kept on forgetting it. I'm relearning Japanese, so.
I'm slowly learning.
It kind of reminds me of the Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat. From last year, though.
Didn't watch that one,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I read a little bit about it, and I had no idea what was going on, so I never went back to it.
Well, it's pretty much just like this show, with lots of fan service, and it's based around wishes, and has some feel moments, just like this show. So.
Okay.
Can I tangent a little bit and say how surprised I am about Fate Ilya?
Oh, go ahead.
Ian?
Oh my gosh, I was not expecting anything from this show. And if you haven't read my review yet, I'm pretty much going to spoil my thoughts, but whatever.
Go nuts.
It's a show that starts off as just this, like, a typical magical girl show, but then it becomes serious.
And once it becomes serious, it's so great. And, I mean, I'm annoyed that they did split cores because, one, I have to write my review. I had to write my review. And two, that means it ended off at one of the by the source material endings where it kind of ends, but there's so much stuff left hanging that you want to go and see more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, yes.
And so I went and read the manga right before the show ended, and I love the third arc is, oh my gosh, so amazing. I was not expecting anything from the show, and that was so great. And that's why I love Type Moon stuff, because they consistently surprise me with how good they can write. Mm-hmm. Even in a magical girl show, they can make it serious, so... Mm-hmm. I was really surprised, and I really enjoyed Fate Ilya. I mean, that's one that won't really get covered much this season, but it's a good entry, anyways.
Mm. Oh, okay. I see. Like, would you say it's a good entry point for, like, Type Moon and stuff?
No. Okay, so, the thing is, it relies on previous knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a spinoff, and it should be treated as such.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I would recommend watching it after the current new Fates Day Night, but I would not start on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of which, I still need to finish Fate Zero, god dang it.
I still need to start it.
You know,
I still need to ignore it.
At this point, you might as well just watch through Fates Day Night and then go through Fate Zero.
Okay.
Well, that's how I've always kind of viewed it.
Mm. Ah.
Because right. They both spoil each other. Like,
yeah, it's, Day it's Night. Kind of a paradox, really.
Like, so. Fates Day Night spoils the ending for Fate Zero, which is kind of meh. But Fate Zero spoils two big points of the story, so you might as well just go through Fates Day Night.
All right.
Foregone conclusions are fun things, so I wouldn't consider that a spoiler, per se. Just means you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but still. I mean, Heaven's Feel, the Heaven's Feel movie will be spoiled by Fate Zero. So.
Mm, yeah. Still not much of a Fate guy, but one day.
Uh-huh.
So, nice. Anybody really surprised on how good SAO2 is?
Oh, damn, yes. Yeah.
I keep thinking of it, and I'm like... Yeah, this is one of the only shows that I've seen this season that has a lot of tension.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of you guys...
You can feel all of the anxiety that these characters are starting to get, especially in these last couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like, holy crap!
And one thing I'm really appreciating is that they're explaining things. Like, the last episode, the info dump there. Oh, that was great.
I called it so hard.
Yeah, you called it so hard. It was perfect.
And I even called the,
But
I talked to Coda. I've talked to Hokoda about my next theory surrounding this one.
We shaped it together.
Coda and I came to a conclusion on what the next reveal is. It's going to be fun.
Well, we think the next reveal is, but...
Oh, I think it's pretty in stone at this point, but...
You know, though, they're logical conclusions. I mean, how could you kill somebody from something that can't kill anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
It's a question of who's killing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's one we need to find out now.
Yeah. Coda and I think we got it.
And, so I was really impressed by how great this is. I mean, because it has, what, character development now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
good characters.
Mm-hmm.
Good female characters.
Yeah.
There's a couple of problems with how her PTSD is kind of portrayed, but it's better than most things. It is a lot better than what I see most of the time.
And
it's better than Maito's in Old Noah.
Oh, God. That is such a mess.
Let's not talk about Old Noah.
I'm trying. It's just that they're both by the same studio. You'd think that they'd get it right.
But they're written by, like, different people, though.
Unfortunately.
Clearly.
A1 Pictures is doing way too much, and I don't know, they're going to fall someday.
They're going to pick up a really crappy show one of these times, and it's going to hurt them badly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and nobody's going to bat an eyelash, especially considering how its reputation in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What is its reputation? Because I really haven't heard anything about it.
They overworked one of their workers to death.
Oh, geez.
They drove him to suicide because he worked too damn much.
I think it was like, what was it?
It was like 600 hours of overtime in 1 month.
Yeah.
And several hundred hours each other month leading up to that month.
Jesus.
Yeah. And they have gone on the record, I think, saying that's just how we do it. I can't remember what exactly they said.
I think it was like something like, that's just the nature of the industry, so deal with it.
And keep in mind, animators in Japan are paid diddly shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. So, yeah, A1 Pictures has a kind of reputation. It's not really a widespread reputation, like everybody's calling for them to get shut down.
No,
but,
no.
Because this is kind of a niche sort of thing where nobody notices it.
But the thing is, they're grabbing safe shows.
Yeah.
So they can last long with those safe ones. Persona 4, it might not be bad. It might not be great, but it's there. They have
Black Clover. They have Civil Spoon.
They're getting safe shows, SAO.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're doing like adaptations of most of the major shonens. Like, I know they're doing Nezu no Tensai, which is basically Seven Deadly Sins next season.
Next season, and they surprised me by doing Magic Kaito.
Oh, yeah. That's an extremely old manga.
But it has a fan base.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, anybody who's known Conan knows Magic Kaito, so it's a safe one.
It absolutely baffles me, though, that A1 Pictures is like this. Because they are a subsidiary of Aniplex, which we all know, of course, and they're a subsidiary of Sony Entertainment.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, Sony! You guys are better than this.
Yeah.
You guys have built a reputation on being nice to people or shaming Xbox.
And let's make it something good.
Let's not be jerks to your workers in some off subsidiary. Come on.
The sad thing is, most of these employees, specifically the animators, are huge anime fanboys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason they're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
They can make a lot of work being a graphic designer or something, but they don't.
Yeah.
They go and they make anime. And you know what? Power to them. It's great to be doing something that you love. I just wish they would get paid more to do that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone needs to be paid more, damn it.
Yeah, true enough. It's not always going to happen, of course. And unfortunately, Aniplex has taken us to a very, very different level.
You know, we could go over this now, so why not?
Aniplex?
Uh-huh. Aniplex. Aniplex, oh my gosh.
I like that they stream shows
the background. Aniplex is a big publisher. They are a big distributor of anime. And they control a lot of the big stuff that comes over here to America. Like, Aniplex of America is one of their subsidiaries, so they actually distribute straight to us. And that's where all the fun comes in. Aniplex is infamous for charging ridiculous sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
They are basically doing the Japanese release style in America.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It never is going to work.
You know what, though? The thing is, I mean, the market... Have you seen Anime News Network's article called The Anime Economy?
I don't think I've seen that one, but I have an idea.
I haven't.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen
it. I think you should all take a read at it. I mean, it makes sense about what they're doing. But my god, they could do it so much better. I mean...
Oh, wait, is it that the article that justifies how they're doing this? Oh, then I've read it.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense,
makes sense. I mean, the Western market isn't large. But, especially after the crash. But...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not...
But this kind of release led to the damn crash.
Yeah. And nobody can afford this, especially after 2008. And nobody is willing to afford it.
Retail is going
to
have it.
Yeah.
Retailers can't waste a shelf space for this kind of minimum episodes, multiple volumes release.
It's not appealing to the... Like, they're trying to justify it themselves, but then they don't look at the market.
I think one of the funny things to note here is the currency exchange rate should mean that we would be getting this for cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
quite literally.
Like, the last podcast, Richard was so shocked about the prices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. I think I was once looking at Valve Rave because, you know, I kind of was pretty big into Valve Rave for a little while. I'm like, I think it was $60 for 4 episodes, and I'm like,
ooh, dang.
Well, I know what I'm not buying.
And all of the Gurren Lagann fanboys. Oh,
yeah.
$400 for the whole show. Have fun.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Happy times.
I can get, like, all the Gurren Lagann shows from my public library.
Yeah.
And everything Type Moon gets picked up by Ufotable. I mean, in Aniplex. Everything Type Moon Ufotable has been picked up by Aniplex. So that's like $750 for the Blu-rays of Karano Kyokai. That's $500 for Fate Zero, and probably another $500 for Fate's Day Night. So I'm just gonna buy the source material. And
yeah. To that, I say fuck that.
Yeah, no, I can't afford that. I mean, I don't know.
Could afford that.
Oh, and looking through their website, they picked up Alden Noah Zero. So.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course.
So. Yeah, are they going to sell any of those?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. They're going to sell Old No Zero for a pretty penny.
Yeah, and people will buy it.
Which because, is the sad part.
Yeah.
So Aniplex, the prices, I mean,
The prices, their overall business strategy is kind of baffling.
Yeah.
We've already
mentioned A1 Pictures.
Mm-hmm. I wish they released, like, normal editions that most people would pick up in, like, or try digital distribution. I know everybody's streaming, but anime really needs to get on digital distribution. There's a reason why everybody torrents.
Yeah.
It's that Crunchyroll managed to start rolling in money.
Uh-huh. anime needs to pick up on digital distribution, and then, other than streaming, because people like copies and saying they own it, and they need to release the regular releases because there are fans for these shows, and in the Western market just doesn't have the interest in buying that expensive quality.
Yeah.
So I just don't see how they're gonna do.
I will say, thank God for Funimation for getting the Full Metal series from Aniplex's Cold Dead Hands, because they're actually cheap.
And Attack on Titan, they got. And
yeah, that too.
They're reasonable. I mean...
Yeah.
So
I have some reservations about Funimation, but yeah, generally speaking, they're some good guys. They've been doing some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're damn saviors to me because of the save editions.
Oh, the save editions. Those are great releases.
Yeah, save has been a great idea.
And especially with the reversible covers, so even if you don't like the green save, just make it normal.
Yeah, the highlight of green,
So
I actually didn't know that. Okay.
That's interesting. Oh yeah, Coda. Since you've been like writing on Crunchyroll for quite a bit, and how's their manga services? I'm just a little curious because I haven't actually used it that much besides for
pretty
like...
Pretty damn awesome.
Oh, nice. And
I find that it's awkward that...
I was just going to ask how large the library is. I generally like reading mangas that are pretty niche.
They're mostly new stuff.
It's growing.
It's growing.
It's growing pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I find it very awkward that the backlog you have to have premium for, but the new stuff you don't.
Yeah, it's kind of like... It's kind of awkward because basically you're getting thrown into a story which you don't even know the premise for.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like they need to offer the first 5 chapters or something.
And or just make sure like the first half is available for free users and the second half isn't or something. And they also need to just do an anime and manga bundle without the drama, because I'm sure a lot of people don't really care for the drama.
Full disclosure, I have the full membership, so I've had to deal with all of this. They do have a good manga selection, although if any Crunchyroll employee is watching this or listening to this, whatever, please put in some kind of bookmarking function so I can keep track of where the hell I am.
Yes, that would definitely be very helpful. Yeah.
I'm getting really tired of remembering that I'm in chapter 14 of this and chapter 21 of this all the time. I mean, I think they have it on the mobile app, which is even more perplexing. Screw you, web-based people.
Speaking of Crunchyroll, what are your thoughts? I mean, Crunchyroll has been taking the anime industry by storm, really. They've picked up almost every show, and people love it. But I have a few gripes with them.
Crunchyroll, I have history with them because I was there when they came about, and everybody remembers the controversies that came along with that.
How they're just the same type of fan subbers, except they monetized it.
Basically what happened was they would take the Raws, they would attach random fansubbers fansubs to them, and then they'd lock it behind a paywall.
Oh, they
didn't pay the fansubbers or anything. It was an absolute sham when they started. And I've got to say, I was kind of disgusted at the time with it. But they cleaned up their act, especially after they got, I think it was, it was TV Tokyo invested in them. And then they cleaned up their act. They started getting rid of all of the pirated Raw stuff, and then they got real stuff. And then when I came back to anime last year, I was like, my God in heaven, this is amazing. Simulcasts.
But I really think they need to start adding tiers. Like, I'd really appreciate a tier for anime manga only, or a premium tier. Where, you know, because anime doesn't really, we don't really have a lot of opportunities to give anime, the publishers we like the shows we liked, money, because Blu-ray sales are up there, and they just don't bring a lot of stuff over, so I think Crunchyroll could, like, do a higher tier, so we can get maybe better quality, because, a lot of fan subbers, like, did you see that AMA? A lot of the fan subbers were complaining Crunchyroll's got to a specific quality and then they've never tried to go higher. But technology keeps on advancing. Like, we have 4K monitors and they're still on, like, low bit 1080p, so.
Yeah.
And I once again, digital distribution. Just give us a download. I mean, you might have to add servers, but then I'm pretty sure the costs could be covered up by a higher tier. So,
I think Crunchyroll is kind of in an emerging market, and they've been having to deal with a lot of this problem with how do we run an anime streaming company? Because honestly, it hasn't existed before now. Funimation didn't do it until Crunchyroll came along.
Well, they started doing it, but they didn't fully roll out until after Crunchyroll.
Basically. I wasn't around when all of that was happening, so I was just going off hearsay. But, yeah, Crunchyroll kind of sits at the forefront of this whole thing. They've had to deal with a lot of this. And I applaud them for bringing in the Japanese dramas and all of that. But you are right. They do have to come up with a better way to tier their services, a better way to charge for their services, and they have to go over their business models a little bit better. They definitely seem to be trying, though. I don't know if you've ever looked, but their jobs page, they've got a lot of job openings.
Oh, yeah.
They're really trying to grow. And I'm probably going to put in my resume with them when I get out of college. But,
nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not sure we can quite strike them yet. They've been doing a pretty good bang-up job so far.
And speaking of Crunchyroll, Koda, talk about your experience with them.
For everyone who does not know, Senior Koda over here is a pro bono contributor to their newsletter. So,
It's interesting. Review shows, man. And I get compensated with free all-access membership. So,
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so if you want more of Koda's writing, like, if you don't get enough of it, because then just swim over to the Crunchyroll page, because he doesn't
use it. It's somewhere. Good stuff.
Unfortunately, I have to be nice to the shows I'm reviewing. So, I mean, just compare my Crunchyroll newsletter review of Blade and Soul with my Anite Blade and Soul review.
That's fun.
Yeah. But speaking of fun, I remember, like, when I went to my friend's house, a while back, we played this really dumb game where essentially we'd use a random number generator to essentially pick the first letter of a show, and then randomly generate another number of how many shows are in that category, and essentially we watched a bunch of random shows on Crunchyroll, and goddamn, there's just some of the weirdest stuff on there.
Oh,
like
the greatest.
Yeah.
Like, the best show, and by best, I mean the worst show we saw, was, like, a CG film called Cat Blue Dynamite.
Oh, my God. Oh God. I actually know what that is.
Oh, God. It is just terrible. But it is just the most corny thing I have ever seen. It's hilarious.
One of my friends did that and ran into Boku no Pico.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No.
When did Cat Blue Dynamite come out? It's really familiar. 2006. I think I watched this.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it seems like one of the ones that was right around that time where I started thinking, man, anime sucks these days.
Yep, anime sucks.
Definitely. And oh my god.
You know what? You know what? I'm clapping for Crunchyroll right there. You know what? Just represent everything.
But Jesus Christ. That was just the worst. The highlight of the night, and I can't wait. And the funny thing is, my friends and I just watched through the entire thing.
Why?
I don't know.
It wasn't very long, so
it was like an hour or two long. It was like it got pretty grating after like the 10-minute mark. Actually, the intro was just terrible as well, but god damn it, we were just masochists that night, but god damn it, it was just hilarious. It just a hilarious memory.
Masochists.
That's... Yeah. It can be fun.
Oh, it can be fun.
Unfortunately.
Definitely. Yeah, just Crunchyroll has a pretty large database. Just a pretty large database of shows.
But they're taking shows down, which is
sad.
Yeah, they're starting to lose some of the stuff.
Damn you, Kadokawa! Seriously, it's their damn fault.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I got through Nichijou before that, though.
Wait a second, I got something for us, guys.
Oh, what is it?
What's the weirdest show you've watched?
Oh.
Jeez.
Weirdest?
Granddaughters of Men. Have you said that?
What?
I gotta Google the damn
name. I'm gonna say that.
It's on Netflix.
I'm gonna say the most absurd show I still think is FLCL, but everybody knows that, so. Yeah.
Well, I'd have to go slightly to the side and I'd say Bo.
That aired on Toonami, and that was great.
It was amazing. Yeah. And if you read the manga, there's just a bunch of other crazy shit and references in it. Like, I remember, like, in one arc, they changed, like, one of the characters coming out of his, like, Bobo's hair to something else. But in the manga, it was, like, Yugi summoning Slifer the Sky Dragon. It was hilarious. It's just out of nowhere. It was, like, random crossover, and it was great.
That was... something else.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what was going through the author's mind. I think he was just making stuff up on the spot, or he was extremely high while making it.
Why not both?
Yeah, why not both?
That's
Dex, what is yours?
Mine? I'm actually having a lot of trouble thinking of this one, actually, because I'm just running through. I've got all of the normal ones, like Evangelion was pretty freaking weird.
Yeah.
But those are boring. Those are boring.
Yeah.
The only thing that comes straight to mind is one of the last shows that I watched before I went into my exile, which was Rosario Plus Vampire.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Rosario 2 Vampire.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they didn't animate the second season of the manga. It was just ugh.
That was a weird show.
Yeah,
it was a weird series. In all honesty, I read through the entire thing, and I still had no idea what the author was trying to do. Probably just fan service, but then he just kind of made it a battle manga, and then it really didn't work.
Yeah. That's the only one that comes to mind.
Like, the only anime that I well, anime or manga that I think that really worked by transitioning from, like, a harem to, like, a shonen battle is Negima.
Yeah, Negima.
Like, it was ingenious. You have all your harem stuff to build up all, every single character, and then you add on tension and actual consequences.
But that's what happens when you have a good writer that establishes tropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, it also helps that was his entire goal to begin with. Mm-hmm. He wanted it to be a battle series from the start.
Yeah, Negima was the one where it started out as the guy was like, yeah, I want to make a battle series. And they were like, no, you got to make a harem series.
Fine,
yeah,
okay.
The ending was so troll.
Yeah, and if you have spent any amount of time in the TV tropes community, you know about this series because every single freaking article pigeonholes to it at one point or another.
Oh, yes, it does.
Definitely.
We have to police this. I've actually been part of teams that have gone around policing people from pigeonholing to this damn thing. It's great stuff, but yeah. That was a weird show, but in a good way.
Most definitely.
Are any of you following its sequel?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
There's a sequel? Oh, crap.
Yeah. It's with Negi's great-grandson, I think?
Yeah.
They still won't tell us who the damn mom is.
Well, you gotta keep some mysteries for last.
Well, it doesn't make sense because one of the characters in UQ Older is Evangeline, and she knows who the damn...
Yeah, so it's like, we're trolling you.
But she's not telling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are funny like that, keeping away vital information. Yeah. Kind of like R2 from Star Wars. Well, I know everything. I'm just not going to tell you, Luke.
Because Luke can't hear him, damn it. All he hears is bleep and bloop.
Apparently people can kind of understand him, though.
Wait, wasn't C-3PO also made by Anakin?
Yeah, but he got mind wiped. But nobody said anything about R2-D2 getting mind wiped. So really, what everybody's thinking is R2 was the greatest troll ever.
God dang it.
So there you go, everybody. R2 was a stealth troll. Just wanted you to know.
He's even more of a troll when you keep in mind that he was kind of a badass in the prequel trilogy, yet he did nothing like that in the original trilogy. So just stood on the sidelines and watched all that happen. Like,
Well, it's because he's now an old man. That's why he gets in the back of the X-Wing and he's like, Luke, go that way. Like an old man, go that way. Luke, what are you doing? Yeah. That was a fun tangent.
Quite.
This is After Hours.
Yeah.
So sometimes you gotta wonder how we get onto these trains of thought. Yeah.
So we went from light novels to video games to Back to the Season to Aniplex to Star Wars.
Well, something like that. Crunchyroll.
All we're missing is Kevin Bacon.
I can't say I've met him yet, so I'm not the degree of separation.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, well, you're only separated from Kevin Bacon by about 7 people, I think it is, so.
Wait, hold on, let me see.
Is someone looking up a Bacon number?
Yes.
God dang it, you guys are making me hungry.
So are you just gonna like...
Oh god damn, I have a Bacon number of 4. No, because Tom Selleck's Bacon number is 2, and my mom, as a child, was in a, I think, made for TV movie with Tom.
I've got 3! Paul McGann gets me a 2, so I'm at 3.
Oh god, yeah. You... Wait, let's see.
That's great stuff.
What's... Actually, no, my Bacon number is 3 as well because of Johnny Young Bosch.
Oh, it's great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we gonna
do? Let me reiterate that the After Hours is the most amazing off-topic thing ever.
Yes, this was great. This was a lot of fun, and you guys need to join sometime.
Yeah, join us for fun.
And keep an eye on the video version for that Move Wolf counter.
Yes.
It'll be glorious. Well,
you just mentioned it again. Don't forget that one.
So, are we just going to end it like this?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Does anyone have anything else that they want to talk about right now? Any show?
Not really.
Prepare for the review, Avalanche.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Anime summer finale is coming.
Yep.
You could totally make like a Starks reference, a Game of Thrones reference with that.
I did.
He's been doing it every time.
I like it in every one of Rock's posts. Great.
Yeah,
it's
I
great.
Always do.
It's so
post.
Badly done.
I always do a post. It's like it's an Annie table. The season's almost over, so be prepared. And then always Dex is like, brace yourself. The anime reviews are coming.
Hang on. I've almost got it.
Yeah.
Kurt, I think you beat me.
So, this is an ending. Bye. Say bye.
Wait,
see you later.
Let's go ahead and do a real exit.
Aww. So, do we have to?
I know. So, my name is Dex. You can find me on dexomega.kinja.com or on my Twitter at dexomega. I write about anime sometimes. Other times, I'm just arguing with people over how bad All the Noah Zero is.
I'm Rockman Dash, and I write about visual novels in anime and occasionally other stuff. And Thomas?
I'm That's My Pizza. You can find me on Kinja under That's My Pizza. But I mostly write about manga and basically whatever else I'm doing. Basically, manga, games, and possibly a Mushoku Tensei. Reveal will be in the pipeline soon enough once I finish catching up.
For the record, that's actually my pizza.
No, it isn't. You didn't cook it. You didn't prepare it, Dex. It's mine.
And Coda.
I'm Coda. You can get me at coda89.kenja.com or Twitter at Coda Kazora, or read my stuff on Crunchyroll Newsletter if you want to. I don't know why. mostly just write about anime right now, and yeah.
And of course, we don't have him right now, but Proton Storm.
He started off.
ProtonStorm.kinja.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. All
right.
See ya.
Thanks for being with us, guys. Bye.
Yep. Bye. See you later.
That was fun.